What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
No clue what this cold open should be.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about the prison system because we're not a political podcast.
Yeah, how much of that are we gonna be doing on this episode?
I mean, well, the movie, I mean, you know.
How much of that are we gonna do on this episode? Because I want to talk about, like, funny comedic situations and makeup and
period pieces,
and that's all I want to talk about.
I think you should bring that up.
Connections to Harlem Nights, which I only heard for the first time on this rewatch. I just want to talk about that stuff.
I think that's some fun stuff to talk about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be talking about how the chain gang is something that literally will start. You know what? We're not getting into that.
You're not going to talk about how the 13th Amendment just didn't really took slavery away. It just transformed slavery into the prison system.
And y'all just going to be bringing up all kinds of shit, ain't y'all?
James, we are not doing that. That's what we're saying.
Hey, y'all remember when they were singing the Upper Room? That was funny.
Yeah, right. the Boom Room, baby. That's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about how many black men get wrongly convicted for murder and then are exonerated like decades later, but their whole life was taken away. And there's
what?
And it's really, you know.
Or the ones, Braylock, we're not going to talk about the ones who didn't have the opportunity to be exonerated. We're not even going to talk about the black men.
And they were murdered.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, no, James. Anthony Anderson is in this movie.
Yeah, huh? James, you're right.
Right.
James, you're
playing
right.
Playing the cook? Man, that guy's funny.
I mean, that's probably... The sad part is we're not going to talk about the African-American men who are probably in prison right now for drug-related charges, now knowing that, hey, everybody can have a marijuana coffee shop in L.A. and shit with, like, little white ladies being like, oh, look at this, we're doing weed and yoga. But people still in jail because of third strike rules and like petty crime. We're not talking about that.
Speaking of white people, they even put the white dude in old age makeup. Wasn't that funny?
Oh, man. We're going to talk about fun stuff, you know. We're not going to talk about life.
Honestly, I get it, but.
No.
I mean, I get all it. Right. I mean, I get it.
Wait, why? I don't know why the jokes and the laughter stop. I was saying we're going to talk about, you know, the he's and the ha-ha's, you know?
What the hell was that?
We're not going to talk about...
The he's?
Yeah, the he's and the ha-ha's. You're not going to talk about how this, you know, this is black people's life.
All right. Well, I guess this is what we signed up for, so...
Is it?
We're three comedians, baby. People are laughing with us, okay? You know? We ain't gonna talk about the sadness of this thing called...
Don't... We'll do it now.
Life.
Okay. All right, well, that was fun while it lasted.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James III,
Rob Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Black actors. All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
What would you do if your son was at home?
Why is
crying
so
all
slow?
Alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry.
Was this song?
Why is it so slow? Yeah, why are you singing this song?
With a man for
oh, it is in
a
movie. It is in
a
movie.
Daddy's gone somewhere smoking rock now. In and out of lockdown, I ain't got a job now. So for you, this is just a good time. But for me, this is what I call life.
For everyone at home, James had his eyes closed the entire time.
I was feeling it. I was feeling the emotion. City High.
That song
baby.
Was so old. City High, yeah.
Wow.
City Whoa, old, Brain. What?
Old. Hold it's as on. Old as this movie at the very least.
Come on, Brain. That song is young, hip, and happening.
Dude, that was 2 decades ago, my man.
Bray, that song is young, hip, and happening. I know what I said. Where they at? Let me look them up, City High.
They came out with this song.
What do you mean, where they at?
And...
What are you doing? They had a one-hit wonder 2
Bray,
decades
like, don't
ago.
Do this. Don't. What are you doing? What are you doing?
They had where my they man at? From... they have my man from Sister
from
Act
Sister
2.
Act, yeah. Joyful, joyful, look. No, I'm not doing this. What was his name?
All right.
Ryan Toby.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, this very just oh, kind of educational, you know, a voice that you would listen to from a professor that was cool, that you wanted to hang out with, you know, that's Jonathan Braylock.
Yo, honestly... Honestly, I just don't even like going after that. Like, I just don't even, like, I have, this voice is of Gerard Milligan. You see, you, no, hold on, Brain.
Okay,
hold
right,
on, James. Sorry.
I was getting
hold
ready.
On, James.
I was
hold
prepping.
On, James. Brain, like, you take away from mine with this crap you do before mine, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just explaining the voices just so people can follow who's saying what. That's all.
Because what you do is you say that bullshit, then I get angry. Now my voice is the angry voice.
And people understand that that's what they're going to hear. They're going to
don't talk me like you ain't.
I'm
no,
sorry,
this voice, this voice right here. This voice here.
Oh, Lord.
This voice here, James the 3rd.
Mhm.
That's this voice.
I ain't doing no voices.
This is my old man.
This is me. No, this
Eddie
is me
Murphy's
as an old like it's like, if I was an old man character,
I couldn't tell you
this
a Bernie
is how
Mac.
I would be. Picture me with, I got prosthetics all over my face, and I'm old now. This is me as an old man. This is me for the whole podcast. I'll be like this the whole time.
It's Eddie Murphy's old man.
but it sounds like Keenan playing Eddie Murphy
me,
as an
me,
old
this
man.
This is old man. This is, hold on, now hold on. That. You said, can't say that I'm being, this is if I, because see, you got to picture me. You got to picture me in the old face makeup. I got the old face makeup on. Rick Baker came in. He put the old face makeup on me. I was in the chair for like 4 hours.
Listen, you committed to this now. So if you change your voice at any point,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't know
voice.
This nigga.
I'm doing it the whole
listen,
podcast.
Right. Listen, you change that voice. I don't know that nigga.
This is a film review podcast, by the way. We review the films of leading black actors and talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 1999 film Life, not the 18, 19, who cares? Not the Ryan Reynolds one.
2017 movie Life. Y'all
wait,
seen
there
that
was
movie?
There was a 2017 movie called?
2017
oh, the Ryan Reynolds
2017.
One?
And they go to space, they come back to bring the life back.
How could they have the same title? Isn't that like, can you do that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, plenty of movies with the same title.
Yeah. You can. Just. Anyway, we're talking about the one with Eddie Murphy. And Martin Lawrence. And now, technically, this is the second film together. But this is the first film. Is it the only film that they've had where they were the co-leads?
This is their second movie together. This has made me mad since this came out. But in Martin Lawrence's Inside the Actor's Studio, James Lipton talks to him about life. And he goes, what's it like to work with one of your heroes? And I was like, how dare you fully ignore that they did Boomerang? Like 8 years or six
oh,
years
right.
before that. It made me so mad because he's always so well researched. But it was like, you got to work with Eddie Murphy in that. And it was like, well, yeah, they already did this
already
whole
did.
Other movie together.
It's so funny. I forgot. I guess, yeah, there'd be co-leads in this. Even mm-hmm. though I guess Martin was a lead, he just wasn't the lead, you know?
He was supporting. He was, yeah.
He was a support. Yeah. I mean, like he wasn't, his part wasn't nearly as big in Boomerang. As it is in this, but it's just sort of like this thing I don't know. Like, made me upset.
It is weird. Yeah, I get it. It is weird.
Right.
Life. This movie had hitters in it, boy.
Yes.
Good goodness.
A lot of people. Bernie Mac is in it. Got hold on. I don't have the cast list with me.
I mean, everybody.
You got Bernie Mac. You got Anthony Anderson.
Bokeem Woodbine.
You got Juwanna Man.
The whole cast, right? I mean,
I can't call him Juwanna Man. What's his actor's real name?
Miguel Nunez Jr.
Yes. Yes.
Play Biscuit.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Biscuit.
Anthony Anderson, as we said. Barry Chewbacca Henley, who's been in everything. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Guy Tori. There's a lot of people in this film. And this movie, it didn't do so well at the box office. It cost $80 million to make, which is kind of wild.
80?
Yeah.
There's no way.
It cost $80 million in 1999, and it is not an action. It's not like a big blockbuster action film.
And it's set in one location for most of the movie.
I don't know how this joint cost $80 million. And it made 70.
Million?
And it made 73. So yeah, obviously didn't do well. But that's just because the budget was overblown.
It made 73 yeah. million.
Damn.
Yep. And then the Rotten Tomatoes score is, I think, 50%.
What the hell?
I know. Yeah. I remember being younger and, like, my family, like, all the older black people I know were, like, disappointed. I think people were just expecting a different movie. You know what I mean?
Wow. This is all news to me. Like, I had this movie on VHS. I loved it. Like, I had no idea it was, I guess, generally panned. It sounds like this movie was panned. It's 50% on Rotten Tomatoes and only made 73. Wow, this movie didn't do well. I can't believe it. I'm really shocked.
For both of these stars at that time, I mean, like, Eddie Murphy was just, like, maybe just edging past his prime at this, but, like, you know, Martin Lawrence was still on the come up and pretty big. So it was, like, you would think this movie would do better, but I don't know. Like, I mean, we're going to talk about it, but it's an interesting film because it, even though it's a comedy, it has some pretty heavy, you know, thematic elements, you know, is a heavy content, and it's not like
it's not a light romp.
It's not a light romp. But it's also not a Oscar film either. So it's like it's in this weird in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, what is this
movie? I think people wanted it to be.
Who's it for?
Yeah. I think people were expecting, like, laugh out loud every scene. Like, a wild comedy, especially when you have, like, I mean, not only, like, Eddie and Martin, but, like, Bernie's in this movie. And, like, Bernie wasn't known, but in the comedy circuit, he definitely was, like, Def Comedy Jam. Like, we knew him. I think people just were expecting something different, you know? Because I think you're right. Like, it wasn't Oscar, but it wasn't, like, the comedy of the year. So people were like, yo, what's happening?
Right.
And it dealt with, like, the prison system. Right. It was like, wait, what's happening right now?
This was probably right before the Bernie Mac show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 2 years before the Bernie Mac show. Okay,
and this might have been the
and
year.
Before Ocean's 11. Yeah,
but this is right after Kings of Comedy. All right,
this is really blowing my mind.
No, but this is the year before Kings of Comedy.
I mean,
came
I
out.
Guess I get it based off everything we're kind of talking about, but, like, wow,
I'm looking at
Bernie Mac was in stuff. You know, he you know, he was, like, small, but, you know, above the rim. He was in Mo Money. I mean, he was, like, and of course, obviously, a huge comedian. But, like, this was
Friday
before
at this point. He had been in that.
This was before all of his big stuff, because, like, his TV show would come out 2 years from now. Ocean's 11, which was a huge film, and everybody knew him from that. And then he started leading films like, you know,
Kings,
Head of State.
Kings was 2000 or
2000. So it didn't come out yet. I will say the dopest thing about this, I'm looking it up. The premiere for Life, and it's, like, black excellence. There's a photo of, like, Richard Pryor, who's a little bit older at the time. Paul Mooney, rest in peace, is, like, pushing him in a wheelchair. You got Halle Berry, you got Will Smith, you got Holly Robinson Pete, you got Arsenio. This was, like, a black elite event. You know what I'm saying? Like this was the, for all the young people at home, this was the Issa yacht, okay? It was the Issa yacht of events looking at this goddamn photo.
They weren't on no yacht.
No, James, they weren't on a yacht, but they...
They wasn't on a yacht, though.
It's the Issa yacht.
This is like a red carpet kind of, like, general event. you know.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm just saying, if you name those same people and then put them on a yacht, I'm saying that's I'm on board for that. You
know? I'm just saying the event, like thinking about it, like this event was so dope because looking at Bernie and these people who are now very famous, it's like damn, they had it was a melting pot of like the Black elite for before and the Black elite that was coming up after. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway. Let's talk about this. Will Smith was in this joint, just wearing a sweatsuit.
Well, let me start with my initial thoughts because I'm just so shocked by the you know hearing what the actual reception was of this movie. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I did have it on VHS and I wore it out. I thought it was so funny. I thought that the story for as heavy as it all is, they do a good job on this rewatch. I noticed they do a pretty good job of balancing the weight and the comedy in a way that like doesn't feel out of place, at least to me. I'm super interested to hear what other people thought, like and like the journey that the characters go on. Was still super compelling on the rewatch. I love the acting. This is, you know, the Eddie Murphy that like in terms of energy that I, you know, still am nostalgic for in terms of his recent performances. And Martin Lawrence is as well. I mean, I know that this is the same year as Blue Streak and Big Mama's House, I think, is right after this. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like energy wise, they both kind of change after this movie. Like, this is that movie that, like, right after this, they were all kind of a little bit different in terms of their approaches to acting and what roles they pick, which is fully fair. Like, if you're doing a certain thing for years and years and years, you're like, I'm tired of doing that, which I feel differently about than I think in the early days of this podcast. But my full initial thoughts are like fully love this movie. I loved the sound. I remember the soundtrack I was super into. The title song, City High, Y Clef doing the music. Yeah. I remember being excited about that. I'm excited to talk about it in more detail.
I remember this movie when I was younger. I don't remember if I liked it or not. I just know people around me did not. I do remember that very vividly. Watching it again, I have such a respect for it. You know what it is? This may be one of the first movies that, you know, like you watch some movies when you're younger, you're like, ooh, this movie's not okay. Like, this movie did not age well. Like, whereas this movie, I was watching it and I was like, oh, I think I understand it better now. I think I fully understand, like, what Eddie was trying to do with this movie. I do like that it talked about, like, how African Americans were treated, especially I think this takes place in what, the 1930s. I thought it was really good. I really like their performance, but I also like how much they made us care about every other person in the prison. You know what I mean? Like, that was really important to me. Like, you know, even a dude that was like, you know, the cornbread ass nigga. And Joaquin Hakeem Woodbine, is that was his first name?
Bokeem,
like, I forgot he was in it at one point. I'm like, there was just so many good people, and I really enjoy it. I think if people watched it nowadays, it would have a better impact because people care more, I think, about these issues they're raising in this movie. But yeah, so I really enjoy it. I would tell people, like, listen, you probably saw it when you were younger. Rewatch it. It has a new meaning, at least for me.
Yeah. I mean, this was my first time seeing this movie. I had never seen it before. I remember the posters. Like, I remember the advertising for this movie because I think it was, like, advertised pretty heavily. But I don't remember that many people talking about it. And certainly no one was like, you got to watch Life with me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I, like, and I just wound up never seeing it. And watching it now, I mean, it definitely has that feel. I think you're kind of saying this, Jarrell, like, it's a little bit ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a comedy that's like really has like deep meaning to it.
Yeah.
It's almost like they like sneaked it. Like they kind of dressed it up as to be like, hey, this is going to be like a fun comedy with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. Like, two of the like most iconic fast talking black men. Like, they're like hilarious. Like, by this time, Martin Lawrence had his show out. He'd been in Bad Boys. Like, you know, and obviously Eddie Murphy. So like, and it was like, oh, and they're like in prison. Like, I don't know. It like you the idea of it could be funny, but then like the film was very kind of real, and there are moments of levity, you know, like there are like definitely funny moments, but like what's happening to these men is like horrible, and like you do feel the impact of it, you know, and you feel the injustice of it, and you feel the injustice of all of them. Like they make you feel for all the characters, all the people who are kind of locked up, and it doesn't make you go away like feeling good about yourself or about America. Like it's just like, oh yeah, this is sad.
This is America. And, like,
this is America. And like, what are like, you know, and hey, I mean, 1999, are you kidding me? America did not want to talk about race at all. This was 100%, you know, the era in which we were like, we've solved racism. It's done. And America's great. We got the dot-com bubble. You know, we're good. Bill Clinton is our first black president.
Oh, I remember people saying, you know, you remember that dumb shit? Bill Clinton's the first black president, not knowing what history. Yo, don't get me started on what Bill Clinton did to the black community.
But, you know, that's where we're at. And so, like, yeah, I will say it's tough, you know, because it is kind of genre bending, and it's also like they're in the 30s, but they time jump too. Oh, yeah. So it's like, because then at one point it's like 12 years later, and you know, like they weren't, I don't think either, maybe Eddie was trying a little bit more, but I feel like neither of them were really trying to be like match the era, like be that, you know, they were just being themselves. So, and then like, but like some people were from, some actors were like, no, 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 this is the 1930s and this is how I would be. So it's like, it has that kind of thing of like, it feels, I don't know. I'm not like fully buying like the time period stuff. There was a part of me that was like, I kind of want this just to be the comedy that it is, or just be a real movie. Not a real movie, but like a drama. So I can understand frustration with that, but it was good. It was really touching, and it was like, man, this is, I don't know. It was a good way to humanize these men and like men like this. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just realize how easily people could just get caught up in this system and lose their entire lives just based off this racist system. So like that was very impactful for sure. So yeah, I did like it. Yeah,
it was like, you know what it is? It's just really one of those movies that like is not what you are. Because it's so in between, you're like, wait, what is this that I'm watching? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, wait, what's happening? But yeah. Yeah.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get earning.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Yeah, listen, you know, when you get earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies. Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know, that happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But the site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Well, it has that start of like, you know, I mean, man, movies in the 90s love to have this like, you know, old person being like, yep, this is the story of blah bitty boobity blah. Yeah. You know, like
Heavy D is one of the dudes. I was so excited.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Heavy D is one of them.
Who's
you know,
the other guy though?
I don't know.
I was like, am I supposed to? Because I reckon this time, as a kid, I was just like, that's Heavy D. But now I'm like, am I supposed to know this other guy? Because I know
him. You know, I love that. But yeah, Bray, like you're right. It's like the old dude and old,
you know, Titanic. You know, Saving Private Ryan. You know, it's just like, we're by the grave, and like all these people, like it was 1932, and they're like. That's 1, 2, you know.
It was
68 years ago.
I was like, all right, well, I guess
the weight of the line. When you say sometime, why do I get the feeling you mean sometime? why do I get the feeling you mean it was sometime?
That part, like, the reason I was like, I thought it was going to have a bigger payoff than, like, so did they get away at the end? Like, so you, why did you tell these niggas this story then, man? Like, why did, you dry snitching? You snitching on Eddie and Martin, bruh? Like, what's the point of this goddamn story?
He didn't say anything.
You tell other people in the pen they got out, like. That's
but he
didn't
say if they got out. He said
exactly. So he's not snitching.
Oh
yeah, I mean, but you know,
you're right. I will say this though, I do love a good period piece, especially with Black people, because I feel like, you know, when you think of the eras of like the mob and stuff, outside of course American Gangster, like you rarely see Black people moving and shaking in that era, like the Roaring Twenties, you know. The Depression era 30s. So it was like, I liked that the movie started there. And I really liked how corny, well, actually not how corny, but like how straight-laced Martin was. Because Martin is usually, even when he paired with Will Smith, I guess he is straight-laced with Will Smith too, which is crazy because Martin is on Martin. Martin in House Party. Even Martin in Boomerang is usually the reckless one, or like the one who says the reckless shit. So to see him play like super corny, I'm like, I like this. I like that you're doing something a little different. You know what I'm saying? A little different day. Come on, Bray. Come on, Bray. A little different day.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
What
do you mean? You're like, you're saying you're a little different. You know?
Did like this, I'll say. Because this is still in a lane where it's like, you know, he's straight-laced, but he's not like... If he still owes people money.
Like.
Yeah.
Like if you speak to him the wrong way, he is going to stand up for himself, which I think is something that just in terms of Martin's characters that he plays, especially like what they do for him for Bad Boys 2 versus the first Bad Boys. It's like he starts to become more and more a cartoon, you know? But like, this is like, you know, he's still a person who like has feelings, and you can like really kind of feel that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like we introduce both of them, and, you know, he's got a girlfriend who wants him to propose, and he's like, whoa, baby, let's slow it down. And he owes somebody money. They take his money. And then Eddie Murphy does pickpocket him with the wallet, but then there's no money in the wallet.
Yeah.
It was a weird cut from this scene to both of them by the docks. I was like, wait.
Because they got forced to work together, right?
Did we miss a scene?
No, because they both got sent to the docks, and then after the docks is when they got sent on the
Yeah, the because while they're in the dock, while they're at the docks, like the guy's gonna kill first Martin.
Both of them, I guess.
Like Martin's gonna be killed first. And Eddie's able to sort of like talk his way. You know, he's like, hey, I got this hooch, I got this connect. Let me just get a guy to help me drive down to get it. And he, you know, chooses Martin
in
so
the
that
bootlegging
Martin doesn't have
era.
To
I ju- it just hit me drive. This is doing bootlegging. Yo, first off, okay, we're not a political podcast. But
all right,
I just want to say that we're not a political podcast. But the amount of powerful white families that have like literally made so much money during the bootlegging era from doing illegal things, like it literally thinking about like this is fictional, but the thinking about like what happens to these black men for bootlegging, where like you know, we're gonna be famous one day, so I'm not gonna say some of the political names of these families, but you can Google it. They're like families who are very famous and very powerful who made money
from
bootlegging.
You're not going to say the names of the families that are, it's public record.
It's public record. Yeah, it's public record. It's public record.
It's pub. What you're talking about is public record, but you're not going to say the names.
No. People at home can look up what powerful families made money from the bootleg era.
From the bootleg era.
From bootlegging. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I just think about it because in my mind, that is equivalent to what is happening with like black people and like, honestly, marijuana charges. It's like, white people have benefited from it in such a way, but like black people are the ones who are in prison for it at such a high number.
You can't have drugs or alcohol and be black.
No.
Like,
nigga, you can't do
that.
You clearly can't do everyday things and be black. So
you can't. Right. But I mean, you really can't do you know, you can't step into certain territories while
Man,
black.
I won't drive through certain areas while black.
True.
Like, there is no road trip the three of us are going on across country. I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not doing it.
See, this is what I'm
it.
Talking about. I'm talking about this. See, I'm talking about this. Certain things you can't do as a black man. As a black man in America, there's certain things you can't do. You know, you can't be.
But anyway, sorry. I just wanted to say that one fact.
I loved Martin Lawrence getting dunked in this water. It was very funny to me. You know, just the things he was shouting while he was going up and down in the water was very funny. And it was just like that happening while like Eddie Murphy's just on the side being like, come on, man. It's like, you know, and then let me take the square. Like, you know, I
very
just,
calmly yes, talking yes. to
I'm just gonna, I'm take a square because, you know, I just want somebody, I want to drive with somebody who's not going to shoot me after we blow the van. Not that you would do that. You wouldn't do anything like that. But, you know, it's just a thing.
I love that. I also love that kind of comic trope of like the one who shouldn't be getting beat up and stuff is the one that is happening to, whereas like Eddie is just chilling the whole time.
But it's also because we know whatever's going to happen to Eddie is going to be so much worse than what's happening to him. Like, sort of have this air of, in the room of like, they're having a casual conversation, but you know that if he can't talk him out of this, he's going to do something far worse to Eddie. And there's something funny about that, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I watching this movie, even I'm looking it up right now, there's something about it where like Eddie pushed to have this movie made and work with Martin. And it's like, it is something to have these two black comedy legends like, decide they're going to make a movie that kind of has a powerful meaning to it. Like, this is before the woke era. You know what I mean? Like, this is before...
Right.
Like now, again, I really do believe nowadays if this movie was made by, like, Chappelle and fucking Kevin Hart...
they'd be like, yeah, of course.
Like, oh my God, it's so... Like, man, we got to talk about prisons. Whereas, like, they did this, and it almost was like... To me personally, when I think of people like Eddie and Martin making this movie, it almost feels like you're risking your career, because it felt like during that era, like, some black folk didn't talk about black shit yet. You know what I'm saying? In Hollywood, because it almost felt like, I was reading about Eartha Kitt recently, like, the White House blacklisted her from, like, Hollywood. Like, you couldn't do it. Like, even, I love Will Smith. Will Smith ain't talk about black shit until, like, 5 years ago, you know? Like, he just didn't do it.
Right.
People used to ask him about black shit, and he would not talk about it. Kevin Hart didn't talk about black shit, yo. Like,
they did it on Fresh Prince, though.
He didn't
write it. They did.
He wasn't a writer.
I know he didn't.
I mean, I'm talking about the interviews and stuff. I'm talking about, like, in interviews. Like, when, like, black, like, when people get killed, when people get hit, when people are like, how do we, like, do certain things? Like, he wouldn't address it. And he does now, of course. But it's just, like...
But I'm also, I think I'm just sort of saying that, like, doing it in this movie is a little different than like talking about it in an interview.
I see what you're saying.
Because like, you know, there are plenty of episodes of Fresh Prince that, like, directly talk about racism in America that Will is directly a part of, and saying the lines and blah blah and whatever, you know. But like, I mean, you know, I don't know how much Eddie had to do with the story of this movie, but, like, you know, I don't know how much they.
I mean, I think he probably had a lot to do, because, like, at this point, he was always, like, pretty involved. Even if he wasn't writing the script, he was always, like, approving and, you know, commissioning people.
But
and,
wouldn't you think, I mean, I guess more thinking about, like, Kevin Hart not talking about stuff versus these guys talking about it. Like, don't you think the era of even Kevin Hart is almost rare that he's, like, a famous black comedian that, like, isn't talking about.
He does now. He does now.
You know, he does now. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, on his rise, that's almost,
he made the movie
rare
Get
that
Hard.
He didn't talk about it.
Right.
You know?
Right, like, why you got to bring up that movie? Why? Like, why?
Well, I'm just, it's a comparison. It's both movies about prison.
But he's playing a stereotypical black dude to help a white. Oh, no, I don't see. I don't know.
But that,
no, I don't.
Well, we're talking about the errors. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
you're right.
He made life. They made Life in 1999. And then Get Hard was made
Get Hard in 2000...
13 years later in 2012. And it is far less woke than Life, I would say.
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean, it's just interesting to see the 2000s and how we... And you're like, wait a minute, we went back? We went backwards? How'd that happen? We fully went backwards. And the idea that we can't do it again is very funny to me. That it won't 100% happen again.
I forgot that movie came out, Get Hard, and hearing literally you being like 13 years later, it got worse. I was like, it did. I remember that movie, dog. I remember he had like, I think the cover is him braiding Will Ferrell's hair. Like,
yeah.
Oh, is, yes. No.
That is the cover.
Anyway.
Yes, that is, anyway, of course. The
well, that's the thing about this movie. That's so interesting, is I do think that they sold this idea probably, you know, without really showing the studio that it was going to be this meaningful thing. Or maybe they were like, you know, in the end, we like realize it's about their friendship, you know, and then they get out at the end. So it's a happy ending. And Hollywood's like, cool. Yeah, that sounds cool. And they like market it. And then everybody's like, oh, like two black people in prison for something they didn't do? That's hilarious, you know? Like, that. Yeah, that'll be funny. Like, just to think that thinking about it, the marketing and the all the green lights that had to happen, like, ultimately, there had to be people who went, yeah, it will be hilarious to see two innocent black men in prison trying to get out.
I mean, and it's funny, because I'm looking at it right now, like, it was directed by a white dude who was... since passed away, written by two white dudes, produced by Brian Glazer. And like, they're so on the creative end, hopefully Eddie was involved, like you're saying, Bray, because I do believe he was. But it's like, as far as creative, as far as like the initial idea, it all came from white people. Like, this, like, literally the idea was like two white dudes being like, hey, man, yeah, like you're saying, like two niggas get locked up for something they didn't do, but like they're stuck there and they can't get out until they're like old as hell. But it's funny, though. Like, yeah,
right.
that's the elevator pitch. It's like, I mean, I do like that I do think there is nuance in this movie, but it's just so tricky. It's like thinking about Braylock, what you're saying, what was that pitch? Like, what was that pitch like? It's like, because it's nobody wrote this for two white people, I don't believe. Like, I'm looking up right now, I can't find it. Like, if it was just written for like two dudes and they happen to get two black guys, but it feels black.
No, I think it was written. Yeah, I think it was written for Eddie Murphy. Well, I think it was definitely written for Eddie Murphy and then maybe also with Martin Lawrence in mind, too. I do think that. I think, like, because yeah. they, you
These
know.
Same writers did Soul Men. Did you guys see that?
Ugh. Wait, the Soul Man with.
Soul Men.
Oh, Soul Men. Men.
With Sam Jackson and Bernie Mac.
Right, and Bernie Mac. No, I didn't see that.
That was, like, years later. Yeah, like almost a
that?
Decade later.
Did you see that?
I never saw it, but I'm just thinking about like
that's
what...
crazy that all of us didn't see it.
Yeah,
I saw it. It's just one of those movies where like it's one of Bernie's last movies, mm-hmm. if not his last, yeah. and it was just like this isn't what I wanted.
I mean, looking at their credits though, it looks like these guys.
They
also wrote smart,
Gringo.
They wrote smart comedies. One of them wrote Gringo. The other one is not. Doesn't look like he's involved with Gringo. But they wrote Intolerable Cruelty. Which I remember people being
That's George Clooney
in.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
Big
yeah,
Trouble.
That wasn't, I don't think that.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if, like, they thought it would be funny, but I wonder if they thought, like, and we can talk about like what's going on with black men in prison. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if mm-hmm. they actually thought that they thought like this would be I'm wondering if, you know, to fully take it away from them as an idea is actually not, you know, it's not actually the way to look at it. Like they might've thought like, yeah, like we could talk about prisons. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they also wrote this movie called Man of the House, which is, just Tommy Lee Jones in a witness protection program with like
the cheerleaders,
hot,
right?
Like cheerleaders. So I mean,
well, Braylock, I don't know. Well, Braylock, just to let you know, hold on, before I butcher the movie, wait, I'm gonna let you go. I just wanted to say, as I Googled life, the other suggested searches were two movies, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and Get Hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Movies about prison, baby.
Oh my goodness.
Funnies. Yeah. So anyway, to continue this film's journey. So we have them, you know, they go down south to pick up some illegal booze. There's a scene where they go into a very clearly whites only diner and try to order food. And this was a funny scene, and Martin Lawrence was like trying to get some food, and Eddie Murphy's like being like, "Dude, I think we should get out of here." And he's just like, "Billy, you know, how'd you know my name was Billy?" Says it right there on your shirt. This was a funny scene, and I was like, and there was a part of me that was like, "Oh, this is interesting. Like, they're gonna do these like fun scenes that are where." It's like, it is kind of scary, but like it's played comedically, but still pointing out like this very intense kind of racism. But once they like get the booze, you know, they wind up getting schemed swindled and for him in poker and him by, I guess, a prostitute,
I guess.
A sex worker. but like, the scene where this guy gets killed is very not funny and very serious and scary and like horrific.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God.
There is something to that. And sorry to backtrack for a sec, but it's like, I keep thinking about some of these scenes are really good, but even thinking about Bray, I think you were pointing out like that the writers of this movie, wrote Man of the House and stuff like that. And I kept thinking in my head, it's like, when I think of some of these black movies that have like, you know, famous black actors, is always like, not always, but a lot of times it's like these white people who've written it, and it's like the big thing that they got a shot to do. Like, I was just Googling like this movie Life, also Hidden Figures, like the woman who wrote that did Mean Girls too, and I'm like, does Hollywood take chances on like black writers like this? Like, could a black writer write an episode of Sesame Street and be like, all right, cool, we're gonna give you the next black elite film as they do these white writers?
I think they can now. I do not think they could then. But I definitely think that, like, now, if you write a good episode of Sesame Street,
yeah.
If it's a good episode of Sesame Street.
It's got to be the Emmy-winning episode of Sesame Street. Emmy,
yes, exactly. If you wrote the Emmy-winning episode of Sesame Street, you know, the daytime Emmy-winning episode of Sesame Street, you can get a big movie afterwards.
It's only because I'm looking at this, and, like, even when Bray's talking about this scene being, like, it was funny, but then, like, dangerous, I even look at the director. The director didn't do much before he got this movie. And I'm like, I do think when it comes to touching on something so specific to the Black community, especially what Black men go through in America, it is hard for me to, like, really, even though I like the movie, I think I like it more because of the actors and stuff. But it's hard for me because I'm like, I think there is a loss that happens because there's no way any white dude, no matter how many Black friends you got, no matter how much you study, do you know what it truly is like, especially to be an older Black man in America? Like, there are certain things that us, like, you know, in our 30s, I can't relate to my stepdad. He's 70. Like, when he sees a cop, it's a whole different scenario. You know what I mean? It's like a different feeling, a different energy, a different vibe. And I'm not sure, there are little moments in this movie where I think you can tell a Black creative was not on set. You know what I mean? Because I feel like as the actor, sometimes you're dealing with other shit. You're dealing with, like, am I performing as well? Like, does the scene make sense? But, like, you're not dealing with, like, the nuance of what's in the background or, like, even how some of the characters are talking to your character and interacting. So I don't know why I brought that up, but I was thinking about it now more so, like, there are a lot of missed opportunities, I feel like. But anyway, sorry to derail.
Wait, missed opportunities in this movie, or you mean in
other? I do think there's a couple jokes, like, once we see... he's not a cop yet, right?
I mean, the scene that we were actually just talking about is one of those scenes, I think, to me. Like, watching it now, I was like, no guy would ever be like, well, I mean, people were like this. This did happen. Mm-hmm. People were like, I do really want to get a pie, and, like, I'm going to. Stuff like that did happen, but it felt so weird to see someone like from up north be so incredibly like, I'm gonna get this pie, and like not even being remotely afraid of something horrible
of dying.
The first white people you interact with down south, you're gonna, like, they're telling you not to be here, and this other guy is telling you to turn away, and you are like, that felt so, it felt so like, no, he wouldn't do this, but also like, I'm sure people were like, I really want to get a pie today. I do believe that.
Yeah, but yeah. It was definitely a play for comedy, right? Like, it was supposed to be like, his behavior was outlandish, but we're watching it with the knowledge that we're watching it today being like, he just wants to get a pie, you know? And they're like so racist, and he's like very educated, and they're dumb, and then they take out a gun, and he's like, you said 35 miles?
Yeah.
That was
I know it's funny, but it's also one of those things where it's like, I think you could have got all of that without having him, like, I do think he was an adult, so he's not like a kid from the North who didn't know, but he was an adult, so he knew the way the world or America worked. So I think you could have still got that humor without almost making him seem, it didn't make him seem silly or stupid, but it's like, he was too smart for that, where you could have made the people just be blatantly racist. I think it almost, and I know they're trying to play off a joke or a scene later on, but it's like, it almost made Martin's character seem like not as smart or not as knowledgeable, whereas, like, I don't think it was necessary. Like, I think about the scene from, I instantly thought about the scene from the first episode of Lovecraft Country, where, like, they're in that diner, you know, the uncle is like, I want to eat, I'm hungry, they're in this white town, they know they shouldn't be there, and then Letty comes running out like, we got to get the fuck out of here, and it's like, yeah, like, you don't, like, they're like, there are moments where you can kind of like play the duality of it all, but it just made him seem,
yeah, but that moment in Lovecraft is not funny,
right. I guess.
And it's also like, right. The thing we also don't feel from him is, we don't feel how tired they are. We don't feel like they've been driving all day. We don't feel like he's super hungry. Like, we don't have that because of how fast this movie moves. you know, mm-hmm. we don't.
Yeah, it's just him.
We're
talking.
Not able to like sit with that and realize, like, man, he really just needs to get this pie. You know, he really yeah. just needs to.
Right. Well, that's because it. But this is my thing. This is my thing about this movie is that in a comedy, you don't need to feel. You don't need to actually feel that stuff. Like, it doesn't need to be that justified.
Yeah.
Like, it all the justification is just that he wants. He's hungry and he wants pie. How do I know that? Because he said it. Like, it's fine. Like, I. Yeah. You know, but then. But then when that's juxtaposed with like this scene of like a black man being surrounded by cops, by like, you know, racist police who are clearly going to beat him. And then he decides to like just basically commit suicide by like, all right, well, if they're going to kill me, I'm going to like knife this dude in the face before I like go down. Yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? And you're like, well, that's not funny. That's yeah. very serious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely got serious when they killed that boot. Like when they killed, was it Hancock?
Yeah.
It's definitely a very serious moment. Yeah, and then it gets into the chain gang.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the dynamic for these characters is supposed to be that Eddie Murphy is street smart and Martin Lawrence is book smart, right? So, like, that's what you're talking about is, like, it's not that he wasn't smart. It's just that he's book smart. He doesn't know the way of the world. Eddie Murphy knows the way of the world, but he's not book smart, you know. At least that's what it's supposed to be. It's very loose, very, very loose, because we barely met them before. Yeah. They're like on an adventure together.
I mean, then they get, then that's so crazy is they get, like the scene after this, when they get sent to prison, like they're immediately put into a chain gang. And
yeah, there's no trial. We just see them like go like, he's going to believe us, right? And then they cuts to the court and they're just like, life, you know? And then the chain gang.
And it's one of those things that's tough because it's like, first off, they got life. It's crazy. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. The amount of white people who've killed black people who haven't had life. Anyway, I think about the chain gang and like the history of a chain gang where it's like, it is punishment for like, you know, lawbreakers, but then when you look at the history of who were a part of chain gangs, it's usually black people. So much so, I remember like there's a scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou where like George Clooney and them are part.
Yeah, everyone's black
except for the three.
That's
of them.
The opening scene.
Opening scene.
The opening scene is just them on a bunch of black men and like people of color, and then it's just the three white people. And then I'm like, oh, cool. These are our leads.
Yes.
You just showed.
Yes.
It was just like it. So blatant.
And it's one of those things where like, I get what that is saying is like chain gangs. I mean, think about this movie in particular. I don't think they had a white prisoner the whole time, did it? Like the whole movie, right? It wasn't no white guy in there besides the guards, right?
No, not until they got to the infirmary.
Gotcha. Yes. Because I always think about that where it's like, again, we're not political, but you know, 13th. And like, Braille, I put up the 13th Amendment in the code open, but it's like, yeah, man, this... It was almost like people figured out a way.
My thought there, though, was that like this is where black people go to prison, and
like
by the end of the movie, when we're in the 90s or whenever it I can't actually remember the decade that we land in. I think it's the 90s, right?
I think it's the 90s. Yeah.
There, you know, it's now integrated, but
okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Okay, I get it.
But
I get it.
But yeah, I mean, again, it's hard for me because like by the time they get into prison, I guess the funny, like all the funny stuff is mostly between, I don't know. I don't know. There was a part of me that was like, okay, but like this is inherently not funny. Like, it's inherently not funny that two innocent men are like in a chain gang prison for life because a sheriff murdered a black man and then blamed it on two others. So he took away the lives of three black men. You know what I mean? And then it was like, and then we see, you know, we have like the scene where like they're meeting everybody.
Jingling. I remember that being a kid. Jingling. Like, is that okay? Like, I couldn't tell at certain parts if I was okay to laugh at stuff. I was like, am I shot?
Definitely suspect for sure. It's like I don't know what I mean. It's both homophobic and feels like making fun of like people who are mentally challenged.
I can't tell because then Biscuit, I was like, is it? Because I thought they humanized Biscuit in a way, but I was like, is this an?
They did. They definitely did. But they definitely did. And we care about that character, and everybody cares that he dies. And I will say, like, in terms of like, there have been way more Eddie Murphy has had homophobic jokes than what was in this movie. And at the end of the day, like, those two like, we had a couple of instances in the beginning, and then it wasn't really played upon. You know, I will say, like, the whole like prison rape, you know, comic jokes were it was very rampant at this time, and they definitely still did it, but just like, I think a much lighter version than has been seen in movies.
There is something about this movie that I did like. I think it's something that I guess I hadn't seen in a black film, and it was a conversation with Biscuit before. I don't know. Am I jumping? Sorry.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's all right.
But like with him and like the fear he had of going back home, of getting out, because you often hear that like some people know they've been in for so long that like that's the life they know. But also thinking about Biscuit as a gay black man, and I think at this point it was still the 30s or 40s.
I think it was probably the 40s, almost the 50s.
Yeah, because late 40s by this time. 15 years. So there was mid to late. Okay. Mid to late 40s.
So I just think about like, what was life like back home that you're terrified of your family? You know what I mean? Like,
he even
your family,
says in
your
that scene, he goes, "Hey man, it's the world's changing. It's the '40s. Like you might be okay." Mm. Which is so, it's like, wow. Yeah. We always say that, don't we? We always say it's the current decade that we're in and things are better.
You might be okay
in this current decade.
That's crazy. You might be
okay.
This was
my first time tracking, though, that potential, because they were the only two out men, that potentially Biscuit and Jeng Lang had a relationship. And that is why Jeng Lang goes up to him after he shot. My assumption was that, people are sleeping with whoever they're going to sleep with if they want that kind of release, mm-hmm. you know. Because of the way we're introduced to it with Jeng Lang the first time, he like goes up to Martin. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, then maybe.
Right.
Whatever. But because this scene starts with, on this rewatch, noticing that this scene starts with like, oh, he thinks that Eddie's character thinks that Biscuit is upset because Jeng Lang is dancing with someone. I was like, oh, wow. Like, had not hit me when I first watched it.
And there was the scene even before Jeng Lang hits on Martin Lawrence's character, where they're in the cafeteria, I guess, and Biscuit's like, "Eyes front, Mister," you know, like Jeng Lang.
I remember that. I mean, again, I think this movie did. I mean, I think it handled things appropriately. Like, I like how they handled Bokeem's character, who did have a mental disability, and. It was funny because I was like, the fact that they had all their hope in him. And I was like, why did they think he was going to help them get out? Like, I still have a hard time understanding why they thought like helping this kid get to the league would help them get to the league.
I think it's just that they thought that they worked so hard with him. And because of his, you know, because he does not talk, like perhaps they could be the go-between for any time people need to work with him, you know, like they, like, I mean, at least one of them, like, at least one of the two of us can go with him, you know, as a sort of go-between manager type person. But that was clearly a long shot. Like, it was they put all of their hope into it in a way that, like, you, if you're desperate, you're going to do that, you know?
Yo, thinking about this movie, Brian, like I said it a couple of times now, and now I'm thinking about it. If they didn't have comedians in this movie, nothing is inherently funny. Like, everything is sad as hell. Like,
I mean, it's still sad.
This is very close to it. Like this movie, this movie is probably the most reminiscent of like The Green Mile, except that it's actually black actors who are the leads and not a white actor. And there's not,
and no
not
magical
a
Negroes.
Negro. And
no.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, but The Green Mile try to do exactly what life was doing. When did The Green Mile come out?
Didn't he, didn't this... he, Didn't he heal somebody's nuts? A
couple year after. The Greek. Oh, no, yeah. Same year. Weirdly enough.
Yeah, doesn't he heal? So, isn't it Tom Hanks?
He heals Tom Hanks's.
Yeah, he has like cancer, like, or something.
But it's the same thing. It's like, it's like they're on death row. It's 1930s. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of freaking. It's like mostly black men. You know, there's a lot of white men and prisoners in this too, because, you know, they were like, well, you know, we're trying to get Oscars, so we have to put white people in
Michael
it.
Michael Jeter in that movie.
And, woo!
He was so.
Yo,
good.
This movie cost $60 million.
He was. How did life so cost $80 million in that movie? Well, let's see. The plane explodes.
I mean, Eddie and Martin definitely got
Tom Cruise is. I mean, Tom Hanks is.
I know,
in this
but
show.
There's two.
Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan wasn't getting crazy. The same rated.
You know, Michael Clark Duncan got SAG minimum, bro. let's be real.
I'm gonna tell you what's so sad about that is that's funny, but for people at home, that's a damn real statement. He probably got the minimum of what he could have got to be in this movie,
yeah,
which was probably less than a fourth of what Tom Hanks got in this movie. Damn, black folk. Sorry, go ahead. My fault. That's crazy.
I mean, black folk, women. It happens to. I mean, it just. If you're not, but also if you're not a name, you're not going to get the same amount of money as the name.
Remember this. So the Green Mile got nominated for 4 Oscars. It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Michael Clark Duncan, Best Screenplay, and Best Sound. Life oddly was nominated for 1 Oscar, which was Best Makeup.
For Rick Baker.
But
let's give Rick Baker another Oscar nomination.
But it's just interesting because it's like, it's just such a clear, it shows you very clearly how a majority white, you know, audience is going to consume a movie about race. They're like, Green Mile? Yes, we can do this. Life? No. Even though Life has more levity to it, it's still, because it's, I think, probably more honest and it way more humanizing as opposed to having the white character who is a prison guard and then like feels bad. And then it's like, there's a even worse prison guard and that's the real bad racist. And we all hate that guy. And we like Tom Hanks because he was nice to the prisoners. You know what I mean? Like that's how it's okay. So that makes it okay to consume. It's just like, it's so plain.
It's so tough. Cause even thinking about that, like, it's so much nuance to it. Like,
yeah.
Like
Green Mile made $286 million at the box office.
Let me tell you what she's mad about that. Like, there's a scene in Life that I think is so important, which I think is very hard for, I do mean this, sometimes white America to reconcile with. Speaking of Tom Hanks is out right now talking about how people should learn about Tulsa and all the other atrocities that, like, white America has committed to, like, black people. Like, he's like, you know, people should know this history because it is a part of the history. But thinking about when Bokeem's character, I can't remember his name, but when he gets the warden's daughter pregnant, and everyone has that kind of Spartacus moment of like, I'm that baby's daddy. Something about that is so relevant to me is that I have been looking up like historical black figures and stuff like that, and a lot of the people who are very important to the black community were birthed due to a white man assaulting a black woman. Like, there's like 4 or 5 of them who are very popular and very famous. And I think about this moment, which to me is a big deal, of like this white woman seeing this black dude hooking up with this black dude, and now almost everyone, I believe everyone did get punished because of her actions, but not her. You know what I mean? Like, this woman went in, had sex with a black dude. And it's one of those things where I feel like Bill Burr tried to make a joke about it and being like, yo, when shit gets bad, y'all hook up with a black dude and then say you didn't do it or it wasn't consensual. And I'm like, this happens so much throughout history and so many people died. Literally, the start of, quote unquote, the start of the Tulsa race riot is because someone said, like, this woman was assaulted, the black dude ran back to, like, Black Wall Street, and that gave the white people a reason to go in and, like, do what they did. And I'm like, this situation in this movie was so much deeper. Fuck it, let's compare it to the Green Mile. So much deeper than any goddamn thing that happened in the Green Mile. Yeah. But like, because it's Eddie Murphy and Martin, we don't take it serious? Is that what the whole thing
no,
is?
Because also the movie didn't treat it with the weight that something like this probably would have been treated. Like he went to find the dad, and the way he's doing it is he's holding the baby up next to people, which is like so bizarre. And then instead of enacting, you know, like we assume that they all got punished after this, but the way this scene ends is like with all of them kind of laughing, and the guy gets laughed off the prison yard. And, you know, there's the sweet moment between Bokeem and the woman, you know, and the last time he sees his baby. But like, you know, no one, the prison wasn't later stormed and everybody wasn't later killed, you know what I mean, for defiling this family in a way that, like, I, as a kid watching this, it was only funny. Watching it now, I was like, this would have gone far worse than this did.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
they don't get to all laugh and then all, yeah. Like, I was just like, well, this is like a comedy moment. Like, it's like to keep the movie still light while talking about something that's like deeply serious and also has gotten black men killed for sure, you know? So it is this weird, like,
they do try to give them a little sweet little moment, but like the life that baby's gonna have, like in this white family that, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's going to be crazy. Like, there's so much shit is about to happen. And we just kind of, they drive away and that's all we see of it. And it's, I don't know.
But they do, I guess my thing is, at least they attempt to touch on stuff. And I know it'd be different. It's just that now I'm thinking about this movie and I honestly forgot about The Green Mile. And it is, I mean, I think I really do. And I know there's nothing we can do about it, but I really do have a problem with how white people will, like, love these movies that kind of touch on issues, but there's a savior white guy in it somehow, the kind one. And so, because almost what it does is, like, it's always like, oh, that one over there is bad, but at least we got this one. I'm like this one. Like, you know what I'm saying? I bet everyone watching The Green Mile was like, ah, Tom Hanks, I can relate to this one. Sam Rockwell, no, 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 no. Like, the other racist white dude, no, no, no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even when I think about, like, Hidden Figures, it's like, oh, we got the one white dude. Everybody should go to the bathroom. Let me go get a fucking hammer and, like, hammer down whites only. Whereas, like, the fucking dude from Big Bang Theory is a racist. And so is fucking Mary Jane Watson is racist. I'm like, no, 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 no. Don't try. Y'all niggas ain't the ones banging down motherfucking trash cans and signs. Because y'all can't even talk to your grandma about how she's racist to your friend Tony. You know what I mean? It's like, it shit just feels false. And, like, we will give so much love, not us. But, like, Hollywood would get so much love to these false-ass movies, but not movies that deal with shit they don't want to talk about.
You ain't have to call her Mary Jane Watson, though. Kirsten Dunst has mad iconic roles under her belt, and you went with Mary Jane Watson?
Everyone at home, when I said Mary Jane Watson, you thought of Kirsten Dunst, right?
I personally thought of Emma Stone is a different character.
Wow. Right? See? Wow. See?
They got you with the red hair. It was like, they were like, we're going to cast. They did the same. They did the reverse. Yeah. They were like, we're going to cast we're going to make her a redhead. We're going to cast a redhead. That's we're going to make her a blonde. They tricked you.
But I think Emma Stone is actually blonde. Like, her hair was red for Superbad.
Yeah. Oh, word? I didn't know that.
Because they wanted her. She was like a girl next door. It made her not as whatever. But yeah, I think she's blonde.
Wow.
No, what else is about this movie? Oh. Sorry, the thing that I thought was, like, really, really sad is when everyone starts dying and they start fading just into, like...
Yo, this was beautiful. Oh, Wyclef playing underneath it?
Yeah.
And we're just seeing... Oh, man, what a beautiful montage.
The decades go by. We see footage of, of what's happening in the world.
And we know they're
not
talking during this time. People are going away and they have less and less people that they know that they can just talk to.
It was, like, 20 years or something they didn't talk or something like that. Oh. Until Eddie...
Right, they didn't talk.
This was great because I will say, we're talking about how sad this movie is. I will say, as I started watching it, I instantly remembered everything that was going to happen. And I was like, man, I ain't trying to watch this movie. I'm about to be sad. But I kept thinking of the moments that brought me joy. And this was one of the moments, even though even though it's they like get punt, they haven't been talking for 20 years. But when Martin Lawrence runs to get this pie, and then the pie's too hot.
Yes.
And then I remembered that the thing that they connect on is when he says the pie was too hot and it burned.
Yeah.
That was
I didn't care about those bullets. Goddamn tongue.
Yeah. I loved it.
That was a beautiful little scene.
I mean, yeah, man. And I like the scene. I do like when they finally started talking, when they had to do after the pie scene, and like, you know, Eddie's like, you give me that gun, like I'm liable to shoot you.
A third of this movie is them as old people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm liable to shoot you if you give me that gun. And they have to sit with their toes on boxes. Oh, how does that work? It was like they have to toes balance on bottles.
They had to balance on bottles. On yes. bottles. On open bottles.
Open glass bottles. They also, this is a while ago in the movie, but when they try to escape, they got put in these like,
oh, the holes.
Wooden,
oh,
the holes. Wooden the box. Box, yeah. box in the sun, which is suffocating. It's so hot. It's like, that is like a form of torture.
Well, you know, even though people try to claim nowadays that the police force and prison system is not based on slavery or slave catchers, what people did when they caught a slave, they would put them either in a box in the middle of the field, or they would actually exactly. dig a hole and put them in a box underground. Like, I think the only time I've ever seen it done was in Django. And Django,
yeah.
She's in what would normally happen to, after being beat like yeah. and punished, they would do those things. And that is a thing that came from slavery times. So every time yep. I hear people talk about like, oh, cops are here to police, I'm like, cops were here to search and find.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. that's what their job was, and to search
cruel,
and find.
Cruel and unusual punishment is actually supposed to be against the Constitution. It's supposed to be unconstitutional, and yet...
Braylock.
Put about. People in solitary.
These people are black.
Yeah, you're talking about black though. People. What do you mean?
We're talking about
black
people.
We weren't included people. In the oh, Constitution.
I guess solitary ooh. Now is some, right. you know, anybody No. That. But I'm talking about right now, this is black people.
No.
And if you're black...
The Constitution did not take black people into account. Remember?
Yeah, they that's what I'm saying.
They, well, no, they actually it did.
They did. It actually, you're right.
It was a 3/5 clause.
Wait.
They did that way later, though, too. They didn't do it at first.
Wait.
That took a while,
that was an
too.
Amendment, but yeah.
Wait, I'm about to say, was it officially amended that black people were now considered a full person? Like, was that, how do you say that? Like, how do you, it's hard for me to be like, a black person was a 3/5 of a person, so is it
yeah,
like.
I guess so. I guess it must have been around the same time as the 13th Amendment.
But did they say black people are a... You know, I'm being very particular because I'm like, now that you're bringing it up, in the Constitution, they literally say what we are not. So I'm like, when there was an amendment,
I think it's like something about the fact that all...
You can't do that.
I ain't talking about all people.
You can't do that. It already say all people. It already say all people. Like, then you got this other thing that say, hold
well,
up.
It says, now it says regardless of race, and then we go,
no,
oh.
No, this is my thing about that. This is my thing. Because it said all people... And they specifically said black people are this. So my thing is, if you said all people, right. but then it was like, hey, not y'all, I need you to go back and be like, even y'all. You know what I'm saying? I need the exact, I don't need all people. I don't need all races. I need you to say black people are this. Because when I think about even this movie and what's happening, literally think about these people, like here in LA, you got all the black and blue American flags, which are like the support of the police. Again, the fire department doesn't need a fucking flag for people to support them. Don't know the difference, but clearly there's something happening in the sauce. Anyway, every time I see one of these flags, I'm like, do you, what are you fighting for right now? Like blue,
right.
blue isn't, it's not a race.
The 15th Amendment says the rights of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
But Braylock, my question is, am I still considered 3/5 of a person? That's voting. Am I still 3%? Am I a person yet? Has anyone went through and said, hey...
Well, you know, slavery was what constituted a person as property, and that was made illegal.
But in the Constitution, though, it says black
does it
people...
officially say...
No, it's so dumb. I know it sounds
according
very dumb.
It doesn't sound
it's
dumb.
It's just like, That
Gerard, this doesn't sound dumb. Are you kidding?
I'm saying because people are probably like, "Oh, wait,
there's something on paper that says that that says in America, black people are legally 3/5 a person."
Well, the 3/5 isn't the 3/5 is in regard to voting because it was 3/5 of a person Oh, they count as three-fifths of a person for the population, and also they didn't have the right to vote.
Yes, that's just period.
Yo, oh my God.
It was so that the southern states could have more voting power, even though their population, a part of their population couldn't vote.
Oh, wait, hold on, wait. Listen again. Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, 1868.
Later. Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah.
Explicitly repels the. Okay. Okay. All right. Representatives shall be appropriated, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians.
Excluding Indians.
No.
Goddamn.
This doesn't do it. God dang it.
Excluding Indians.
God dang it.
Exclude it. Hey,
but this is my thing. But even in this, like, if we're talking about black people, even this, I needed to say black. Because if you pointed out that I was three-fifths of a person, you need to go back and say black is this.
No, man, they don't see color.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't see color, man. God, come on.
It's so funny because it's like literally I was no, we're not a political podcast.
This was so long. This was so long ago. This was so long ago. Why are you still talking about it? Why are you still mad?
Literally, Braylock, we're in, first off, I'm not the mad one. Braylock cares more about politics than me and James. And it's funny because I keep thinking about voting rights. And I'm like, one day Braylock is going to spaz for like the whole podcast about what's happening with this new era of Jim Crow. I'm waiting for it via GroupMe. Waiting for it via the podcast. But one day I just know this shit's going to explode.
Nah, man. Nah, stop race baiting, you know?
Bray spends entirely too much time battling with trolls on the internet. He is spotting every comeback.
All I know is this conversation is reverse racism. That's what's happening right now.
Oh my God. Anyway, it's funny because even reading this, Melissa, thank you for posting this. It just makes me laugh because I'm like, I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking about what's happening right now in a lot of these Republican run states when it comes to voting rights. And I'm like, yo, I think James, you said it earlier. It's like, oh yeah, in every decade, someone goes, hey, we're in the 1930s. Things have changed. Oh, it's 1990. Things have changed. Oh, it's 2021. And I'm like, yeah. Nigga, this is life.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Things have changed. You know, I look at every person based on what they do, excluding Indians.
The fact that it says that, terrible.
Hey, hold up. Hey.
What?
Y'all remember in the movie when Eddie had on the old age makeup? And then he was like, and then he was like, hey, oh, hell, hey, cover yourself up. Hey, cover your, oh, I don't want no damn jello. Gotta look at that. Isn't that funny?
Also,
this movie's funny as hell.
Also,
Martin's about the cocaine being smuggled.
Martin's big thing was he got to be a white dude's butler. Like, he got assigned to be a white dude's butler, and that was the best job ever. It's like, the butler, the white dude ends up getting, like, this is my thing.
The idea that this white superintendent or whatever the flip he was would kill like this other white guy he knew because two black men were like, yeah, that's the dude who put us in prison. And they were like, he's like, is this true?
What does it matter?
What does it matter? And then he's like, nah, I'm going to kill this dude. I was like, this would never happen in a million years.
And then he goes and dies on the toilet immediately after. I was like, y'all just giving me.
You know, on this watch, it read even more just instinctual, like, he has a gun. Like, it felt less like, I think in early watches, it was like, oh, this feels like he's, you know, he wants to protect them and he believes them. And I feel like he only convinced himself that what he heard was true because of what he had done. You know what I mean?
Don't you think just like that guy's death would have been blamed on them too, and not?
But
absolutely. I mean, that's why the cop was like, and where were the convicts? Where were
but also
they
it also shows how quickly a white person can get out of something. He's like, they weren't there. It happened by accident, and like they left. You know what I mean? Like there is such a fear, at least, I mean, I don't know about you guys. There's such a fear for me when you genuinely need help. Like, if if I have to close, because I do believe you need people to help you. I do believe there needs to be some type of like protection system. So like when something goes down, you need to call somebody. And I guess that person would be the cops. To me, you have to make it so clear that you are not the issue you're calling about to make sure like you don't get blamed. Whereas like this white dude was like, yeah, this dude got shot by accident as we were hunting quail. You know?
If something ever goes wrong, if something ever goes awry and I need to call the cops, I'm a walk a mile in the other direction, call 911, tell them where the problem is. Be like, I'm not there. I'm not there. It's over here. Where are you at? I'm not telling you. I'm going to do whatever I can do, be on a burner phone, whatever. Toss the phone.
I mean,
okay, I'm in the wind. I'm in the wind.
Yeah, man, that stuff is terrifying. Anyway, I always think about like even when they finally get away at the end. I was watching a doc on Dodger Stadium, and I didn't know Dodger Stadium was placed on where a lot of Latino Americans lived, and they just kicked them off the land and built Dodger Stadium out here in L.A. And I was like, oh, well, now looking at stuff at Dodger Stadium has a whole different vibe to me now because the people are still alive.
Man, if you're talking about that, I know. Everywhere I know. We walk. Right now, this shit wasn't none of ours.
God.
We need to quit acting like shit is fine. I'm renting an apartment in a building that is on land that I shouldn't be here right now. My ass should be in Africa chilling. All of this shit is when you start pulling back the layers, the shit is all fucked up.
Well, I will say this. I'm happy this movie did get made. I just would love if we were able to make, as black people, like, again, I don't want us to make like all this black pain stuff, but I do think if this movie was made now, you could touch on how black people are treated, but not have it feel like they're suffering the whole time. I'm not saying this movie did it, but I do think like their win at the end could have happened sooner and better. And like, it could have been more rewarding. I think we are able to tell these stories and like not just have it be about the oppression we face, but also the camaraderie of like the people in the prison could have been a little bit more. So, you know, I'm happy. Like this movie was a good step, but also Hollywood didn't support it. But maybe we need to stop expecting Hollywood to support our stories that aren't what they think it should be.
Well, it's a little hard to say Hollywood didn't support it when it got an $80 million.
Yeah, good point. I mean, yeah, good point.
It's more just the audience. I saw it afterwards. And I feel like I probably bought, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like I probably bought like a, you know, like a Blockbuster or a Hollywood Video like copy. You know what I mean? Like I bought like a secondhand copy through that. I feel like it. I don't actually know if that's true. I'm going to go back. I'm going to rewrite his. You know what? I bought it first day it came out.
Here's the thing, James. If you say this now, it'll be written in your Wikipedia page and then it'll be true
hilarious.
For all time. So. Wait, I know we already talked to Hollywood and everything, and I know that I have a bit that I typically do right now. But before I do this bit, when they got out, what the hell? How is they going to pay for it? What the hell's going on? They get out there. They old as hell. People ain't just giving jobs to old people. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah, where they get any money. Literally everybody they know is dead. They don't know. Like, even going to New York.
In Dodger Stadium,
I also, it's just a weird thing. They go to a Yankees game and it's like, what did they care about the Yankees?
That's right. They were in New York.
Yeah, because Dodgers are would no
longer. Nowhere near
them. And there was like, there was a Negro League. Like, they didn't care about the Yankees.
Yeah, what? Like, what is happening? They have hot dogs. They have on clothes. Where they get all the clothes from? Anyway,
that was a good question.
Right. I guess that's the collateral beauty of it all, you know. Because if you think about it,
so you're just gonna do,
you know, because you know, because they're
hey,
the what
James,
they went the experience.
I don't like
they
when
went,
Braylock but, does this.
It's the collateral.
You're making it worse.
And then their success.
You guys are doing both
the way they got
doing
out,
it twice an episode,
know,
it's and beauty. It's a lot to take it once.
That's the you know, I just think that is the collateral.
I see, look at that. Two of us don't appreciate this for vastly different reasons. But we don't like it.
That's right. You're banned from doing that.
Braylock, in this, you let him go on for some.
When you think about it, because they own
this. This is the end. What do you say? This is the
end.
Don't do this impression. James, you're banned for life.
That's the.
Uh-oh.
Listen, don't encourage this bullshit from even one of these niggas. Don't encourage this.
She over here like,
good job. Good job, John. Don't encourage this shit.
The way he got me is the collateral beauty.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like it, but whether or not it helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. We feel like this film fully helped the cause. We give it a black fist. Feel like it somewhat helped the cause. We give it a white palm. We feel like it didn't really help the cause at all. We don't give it anything. On the count of three, we're going to raise up our ratings for the movie Life.
Damn. Not whether we like it. That's the tricky part.
One.
I know what. Oh, go ahead.
Two. Three.
Oh! Two black fists and a white palm. Mr. Braylock, white palm giver.
Oh, yeah. Well, I give it a white palm just because these two were already huge stars. I don't think this movie necessarily did anything for them. It was a box office disappointment in the year where a film with similar subject matter, The Green Mile, came out and got a bunch of Oscars and did things for those people. I gave it a palm though, because like obviously it's like a lot of great black actors in this. It helps them out. I think, you know, obviously Bernie Mac goes on to be a leading star. Bokeem Woodbine has done things, you know, but I don't know. I feel like this movie in and of itself, it wasn't like, it didn't like fully help everybody, you know? I don't know. That's kind of how. One white palm. It's fair to have one.
I gave it a black fist because, I don't know, I liked it. And I do think, you know what it was? I think I liked what they were attempting to do. So maybe I'm giving it credit for that. I know it wasn't super successful in it, but I do like that they were trying to talk about these very black issues and nobody was really talking about it. If you had a black person in a prison movie, it was Shawshank Redemption and like their character was attached to a white dude, even though that character wasn't black in the book. I understand that. But anyway, I think about like he ended up like advising that white dude the whole movie. And then also you look at like, you know, Green Mile, he literally sucks the sickness out of white dudes. He sucks the sickness out of white men. And every time he does it, he gets sicker. So, did anyone, that's crazy, right? The Green Mile is a crazy.
Well, I gave it a fist because it, you know, I know that the main actors were famous and the movie was potentially a flop, but you know who it inspired? It inspired Little James III. And now here I am, not a successful actor in Hollywood, but I'm trying. And that is what the cause is about. More black. It's more black actors in Hollywood. Like more people trying to be black actors in Hollywood.
You can do it.
more actors that, you know, people that are black.
It is leading though, but
more black people. That's,
I don't think we can say leading black actors. We might not be able to be on Twitter no more.
Huh?
I don't think we can say leading.
You're right. They might block you if you say leading.
You can't say leading black actors. You can't say black action heroes. You can't say black people are magic.
What was that?
You can't say black people are a gift. You can't say black people are kind, because Twitter would be like, nah. If you say black and then criminal, then you can get that tweet out.
The tweet was, we reviewed Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, a film with a black action hero not named Denzel or Will Smith? Yes, please. And Twitter was like, this violates our hateful conduct, our hateful speech.
We wish this is not a bit, everyone. This is not a bit.
And then I challenged it, and they were like, no, we were right. It does violate our hate with zero explanation.
All I'ma say is, and y'all know what I'ma say, but Donald Trump's ass has
I did tag Michael B. Jordan in it, and I was like, was it that?
Does he not want to be an action hero?
No, I don't think he had anything to do with it. Maybe
they thought you were throwing shade at reported you.
We got to get Michael B. on to come clear it up.
And that's the collateral beauty of Twitter.
Okay, I'm not gonna miss. Can put something out. Guys, thank you so much for listening.
What a jerk.
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We got links to our merchandise. You can buy t-shirts and phone covers and pillows. I mean, truly, a T Public. We also have a defunct Patreon. We haven't put new content on there, and truly, well, probably never will.
It's defunct, y'all. It's defunct.
But there's a year's worth of episodes on there, so if you haven't listened to it, you can sign up and then unsubscribe at your leisure. And if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. This is by Philip Winslow, who I feel like gave us a 5-star review, but somehow he got another one on here, and that's great. This says, quality potting in the age of COVID. Been a longtime fan of the pod, loving the new bits and the mental health check-ins. Is there a reason y'all haven't reviewed Residue on Netflix?
Residue.
Or did you? And I missed it. We haven't reviewed it. Haven't heard of that film. I figured this would be right up Draw's alley, being it's centered on DC. Thanks, Philip.
Let me say this. This is happening a lot lately. People be like, hey, man, can y'all do this? I want to hear what Gerard got to say. Why are you telling me? Just talk to
first
him.
Off,
DM Gerard. Talk to
Gerard. First of all, he's talking to the podcast.
This happens all the time. People be like, oh, man, can y'all do this? I can't wait to hear what Gerard got to say. Listen, I got shit to say, too. If you want to talk to me about shit, oh, you want to hear me
why
say.
Are you getting jealous?
You're on social. You socially tweet more.
You don't
got
to talk to me about.
You socially tweet more. Also, I have seen Residue.
But you don't got to talk to me about.
Wow, this film came out last year. It had a 93% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I've seen it.
Oh, wow.
I've seen it.
He's seen it.
You know what it is? I will say I've seen it. It's hard because I grew up in that area that the movie takes place in, or like near it. So I understand what the guy was trying to do. So it's like, but I've seen it. People should watch it. You can learn about DC.
Are we going to watch it?
It's a movie?
It's an indie movie.
It's a movie.
It's on Netflix.
1 hour and 30 minutes. It's Netflix. The Netflix film.
Array produced it. I don't think we should do it.
Oh, cool.
I don't think we should do it. But maybe other people can do it. But that...
Wow.
You know.
It's definitely got lost in the shuffle.
That's the review. So now that person knows how Rob feels about this.
Guys, thank you so much for listening.
I'm happy it exists.
We will see you next week.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!